Now I'd like a nice hand for Andrea, please, from the John Morden Trust. Okay, making links. Thank you very much.
Hi. I'll tell you what the John Morden Trust is first. What year are we in now? 2006. 1995, AIDS activist who had probably contracted the virus through injection drug use died, and he was my partner, and he'd made quite a lot of inroads around the issue of raising drug use as a human right, which, as I understand it, hadn't really been talked about much with injection drug users, people who used, you know, drugs other than cannabis. So it was quite a moment, and so when he died, I took the opportunity as his widow to establish an organisation for other drug users and ex-users affected by hepatitis and or HIV. And the essential aim of it was basically to... what we really wanted to do was politicise our people, but what we had to say, as it was a charity, was that we were developing skills in advocacy. So it's a support group, but it's very much practically oriented. And out of that came a magazine called The User's Voice. And specifically, we were there to teach each other and teach other users who were less able how to stop themselves getting infected with these viruses and basically advocate for better treatment. So I only introduce all of that in as much as to say I'm definitely not, I don't consider myself anyway in any way a cannabis expert, but in as much as I've done this work for, it's nearly two decades now, I suppose what really happened to me was after sort of patching up lots of diet for a long time, I suddenly started to think, hold on a minute, whatever we do, this group of people seem to have a higher mortality rate than everybody else, and I suppose, I wanted to call this making the links, because I wanted to actually first of all say what the differences are. For us, we never had a political sort of consciousness until AIDS. I think that's probably the truth of the matter. And then people started to talk about human rights, and we were like, what do you mean human rights? We were always taught, we were sick people, had either a social problem or emotional problem or a, disease of, even some people think we have a genetic problem which predisposes us to chemical dependency of some kind. So we were medicalised and are still being medicalised. So the idea that we had human rights was quite a new concept. And to be honest, it's still something that I've had to struggle with. But in becoming internationally involved in the reform movement, in fact, I've just come back from the UN. I'll tell you a little bit about that before I finish. I realised what was absolutely crucial, which was to start making the links with other people who were fighting for that same human right. So we all agreed about what our positions were in all of this. There was an urgent need for us to focus on what actually we have in common. So what actually we have in common, of course, is that we can all be criminalised and we can all go to prison. And it can be for something as simple as possession. And, I think it's important not to, be complacent that these things are still happening and happening to people purely for possession, not because they have, in our group, for example, some kind of acquisitive crime like theft and so on. So, as Ozzy just said, it's really important to keep the work on and be passionate about it. From the point of view of a lot of what we've seen around the cannabis movement, both nationally and internationally, our real, bold connection, if you like, it's a concrete connection as well as a political connection, of course, is medical marijuana, because a lot of our people are using weed in different ways to either reduce pain or increase appetite. And I have to say, for me, in fact, I always thought I'm in the wrong place when I speak at these things, simply because, first of all, cannabis is never a drug I particularly love. Secondly, having come off drugs, you go through a phase of anti-drugness, because it's the only way to stay off them, as you might imagine. And then I went through this extraordinary situation, because then I'm in this situation feeling a bit anti-drugs, and my partner, who's only way on a methadone prescription, is also so sick that he's having to use a lot of marijuana, just literally to get up in the morning and function, and more importantly, have an appetite. So there I am, with my little anti-drug thing going on in my head, rolling joints with my partner. So, you know, it became a very concrete link, as well as something that I started to think more and more about. So the other thing is, that's a concrete and medical thing, of course, is that hundreds and probably many thousands, which never gets talked about, of ex-injection drug users stay off the needle by smoking a little bit of weed regularly. So, you know, there are real issues here about our connections. So I just wanted to flag those up. Now, just about how we organise with these differences. I mean, I suppose the thing that I've sometimes wanted to say and felt a bit shy to say is to recognise that for different reasons and for good reasons sometimes, you know, we are likely to be more criminalised more severely. Having said that, I've always felt that we have a lot more to learn from you guys in terms of the criticisation of this issue. Because for us, we were never taught, as I said earlier, that human rights was, at all part of our realities. That the issue was, we were unwell, we need to get better, end. You know, and there was no in-between place. Hence, you know, we had harm reduction, and we found this helped to reduce bloodborne diseases, as well as, you know, stabilise people's lives. So that's what we can get from you, and that's a link that I hope, you know, will continue over the years. And I hope that we can also, you know, be, I mean, not the dampener, but the ones that make these other issues clear in your minds. Now, I just want to say that, you know, where we are at this point in time, I think, in terms of the wider movement, is perhaps where gay men were about 25 years ago. So we're really in a baby phase, although I'm kind of aware, having said that, there are people in this room that have been doing this work for, I don't know, 25, 30 years, so I don't want to take away from that. And I'm respectful of that. But I think in terms of where the people themselves who are affected are at, you know, because we're all still legalised, you know. And actually, you know, I was recently at quite a high policy level meeting, a high level policy meeting in England, in a, you know, posh house in the country somewhere. And nobody would say, well, actually, yes, we want to be legalised. It was kind of like this, I mean, even some of the leading reformers in the world were in that room and unable to say, I think we need to be legalised ASAP so that we can actually deal with the damage which has been caused upon our communities as a result of our illegalisation, which has been huge. And they do not just, you know, it's not just about AIDS and hepatitis and imprisonment. I mean, you know, the decade after decade, you know, if you like, spiritual, emotional impact on human beings is enormous. Ultimately, we are alienated and marginalised. So these are some of the things that I think bind us. How to organise when we have no money? That's a difficult one. I don't know what, in our organisation, we've made an effort to use some of our funds to do this kind of work, but, you know, that shouldn't be sort of declared further from this room, really. But, you know, we have supported drug users, and I don't just mean heroin users and ex-users of that ilk, but others, to get to campaigning conferences. So that's one way. But, you know, one has to be careful about that. And just a few words, if I can, about the UN. You know, it's a very, very, very strange thing to spend 5 days at the United Nations where people from, say, the United Arab Emirates saying that they're going to more seriously, severely, quote-unquote, punish even cannabis users. And you sort of shudder. And I think of all my friends and I think, well, what are you going to... How can it be more severe than it already is? Two, another end, but not an extreme at all, in fact. The Brazilians, who, in fact, for me, because it's such a huge country of Latin America, talking about human rights in the UN. Now, I don't know if I can get you to understand this, but it's like going to the Catholic Church and talking Buddhism or something. I mean, it's really, really brave. Yeah. It is... You know, every resolution, every speech made by every different nation state is about the scourge of drugs, the poison of drugs, the, you know, destruction of our youth, etc., etc., etc. So when somebody comes along and talks about human rights in the context of drug use, you're talking a very brave a very brave person. And a very brave country, because they're representing their government. They're not just, they're not representing a local community. They're actually representing a huge country. So there is some hope there, but essentially what goes on there is very, very different from what goes on the ground in terms of, you know, working with drug users and so on and so on. So I'm frankly, you know, you can or you cannot quote me on this. I'm not really sure what the UN is really all about when it comes to drug policy. Because apart from, of course, the domination, surprise, of the Americans who pay the biggest subscriptions, and therefore the war on drugs is maintained at a very high level in most of the world. But fortunately, there are, if you like, green areas like Australia, Europe, bits of Europe, and Canada. And Brazil in Latin America. And of course, I guess probably most of you are aware that Bolivia have this new president who wants to commercialise coca. And in fact, very recently, China has offered to go into business with them on this issue. So it gives me a bit of hope in the wider scope of things. I hope that's given you something to think about anyway. But I'm glad I'm here. Thanks for having me. And, I just hope I was hoping this time, you know, by this time, when we were thinking about it 5 years ago, we'd probably have a full-scale legalisation. Well, you know, I remain in hope. We'll see how we do. Thanks for listening.
30 years so far. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.